Welcome to the programme. You are, it's Frank Mitchell, between now and 12 noon. Now, we do have a busy programme later in the show. We'll be talking about truancy, why so many children are missing school. We'll have the news in clues as well, a chance for you to be a winner. We'll be dealing with whatever's on the tip of your tongue. Feel free. Do give us a shout, 90333105. But first of all, the topic is sex. And I want to speak to a lady called Emma Sale, who's available. She's from the Killing Kittens Party team. And you may have been reading the Sunday Life over the weekend. A lot of water cooler conversation about the Sunday Life story since the weekend, when Sarah Gervin wrote the story about the possible arrival of Killing Kittens to Belfast and also to Dublin. Now, I could probably talk about Killing Kittens for a few minutes myself, as I had to do some research last night. I read Sarah's article as well. But, you know, no point in me barking, as the man says, and you've the dog yourself. Let's say hello to Emma Sale. Emma, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very well, Emma. For people who aren't familiar with Killing Kittens, what exactly is it?
It's a club, mainly an online setup that also organises parties all over the UK and Europe at the moment, aimed at women between 18 and 45. We do get men coming along, but every man that comes along has to be part of a couple. So at the parties, it's sort of 70-80% women that have all been vetted through the website, and they're mass parties to start with. So it's a drinks reception. We use private houses or castles or apartments all over the place. People come along, drinks reception, but they do tend to turn into where there is sex. So in the playrooms, in the bedrooms upstairs, sort of 50% of the people that come along will get involved. We have very, very strict rules that men aren't allowed to approach girls. They have to wait to be approached. So it's very much about the girls exploring their sexuality. That's the baseline of it. It's, you know, what the girls want to do, what they want to try, and it's a safe environment where girls can explore that. They have the freedom to do that. And I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but that's it in a nutshell, really.
Okay, so if a fellow wants to take part, he's got to be part of a couple. Girls can go along as individuals. It is proving to be successful. As you say, there's an online element to it. No big change there. Loads of similar things online. But what makes your party set up different is the fact that you come to towns and cities and put on a party for like-minded people, and you're considering coming to Belfast.
Yes, we are. We've got 3,000 members in Ireland already, and already this week we've had an extra over 500 girls actually sign up to be members, which I think Sarah's article on Sunday is responsible for. So where there's demand, we'll come and do it. And it's not a case of putting on a massive, you know, party for 500 people that's going to disturb the neighbours and cause a ruckus. It's a case of a party with sort of 50 to 150 people, strictly vetted, mainly girls, that will take place a maximum of once a month. So Belfast is definitely somewhere, you know, we've got a great venue lined up, and it's definitely somewhere that we are coming to.
Where is the venue that you have lined up?
We never reveal our venue, so they're very much secret, and they are given out the day of the party just to the people coming. So it keeps it secret. It keeps it quiet. It's, you know, the last thing we want is sort of under the people who disagree with the setup turning up and just, you know, causing mayhem.
And that's important, isn't it? That's important because a considerable number of people listening to this radio programme at the moment will be, for want of a better term, they'll be disgusted by what we're even having the conversation about. They will see this as a swingers party, which is probably a common term for it. And we're going to be speaking to Sarah very shortly about the swinging scene in Northern Ireland. Apparently it is on the up. And they will be disgusted by the activity that goes on between groups of people having sex, especially in such an organised way. However, what will also be alarming beyond that is the possibility that there is a prostitution element to what you're doing.
That's the thing. I mean, a lot of people, sex is one of those topics that gets people very fired up. Everyone has very strong personal views on it, you know, like religion. And so, you know, the minute you say people are paying to come to a party where there is sex involved, a lot of people will jump to the conclusion, well, that has to be prostitution. And also, at the same time, when you know you can't, when you're talking about a party where again there is sex involved and there's men and women having sex, group sex, there's that, and they're jumping to the conclusion it's a swingers party and it's all about, you know, couples swapping with each other. But you know, as I've said before, one of the main things involved with it is the girl element. And you know, there's a lot of sort of, you know, I know it's a family show, but there's a lot of girl and girls together experimenting. So it's a very, it's not a case of, right, you know, bored couples coming along and trying to regroup their marriage and just finding another couple. It's very much not like that at all.
But can you guarantee that if a couple goes along, the individual, the single girls who are there, haven't been hired in by you to add to the flavour of the atmosphere?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that, you know, I'd be done for being a pimp. And the last thing I want to do is be arrested. So, you know, we are very, very careful. And all the girls, the single girls that come along, genuinely want to be there. They are men, paid up members who have signed up on the site. And they have paid to come to a party. And that's what these girls want, you know, want to do. They want to explore their sexuality. They want to try new things. And that, you know, it's the freedom to do that. And that's just their choice. And I know it's not, you know, as I said before, everyone's cup of tea, but this is what these girls want to do. And no one's paying them to be there and no one's making them be there. We get a lot of groups of girls coming along as well, and a lot of them come for a giggle, and it's a girls' night out, and they'll go, let's go for a giggle, where, you know, we're not going to get involved, we're just going to go, it's a safe environment, it's a fun environment, because as I said, men can't speak to girls they don't know, so girls can come and just be relaxed, and sometimes these girls just sort of get involved.
You see, to a lot of people listening, it will be just a place of debauchery. They will be viewing it, you know, with their fingers in their ears at this present moment in time, disgusted with where morality is going. And I say that because we're here in Northern Ireland. Yesterday on the programme, we had a half-hour phone-in with regards to people objecting to football being played on a Sunday. You know, Northern Ireland isn't ready for what you're providing, Emma.
No, I know, and I know a lot of people, you know, will be, you know, shaking out there and rage and screaming at their radio right now. But the thing is, you know, that you are ready, and we have a demand for it, and a lot of members out there, and we've had a lot of very supportive messages from girls in Northern Ireland, in Belfast. You know, saying, great, we love what you're doing, we, you know, we're keen to come along and explore, and that's what these girls do. So whether, you know, society in general frowns on it, that's just, you know, what's right and what's wrong. It's that kind of, well, who am I or you to judge people when what they're doing is not hurting anyone? It's in private, and it's their choice to do it. And I always say, as long as, you know, no one's getting hurt, then who am I or you or anyone to judge people?
The topics that matter to you. Mid-mornings on U105 with Frank Mitchell.
I'll speak to Michelle, who's listening indeed to Emma Sale speaking earlier on the programme, and indeed I'm going to speak to Sarah Gervin from the Sunday Life in just a second about this developing trend for swinging in Northern Ireland. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, I was listening and I sort of couldn't believe my ears. Am I correct in thinking that what she's saying is that married couples go to this, or couples, and then young girls approach couples? Is that what she's saying? Was that?
Yeah, basically how it works is couples go, it doesn't matter whether they're married or whatever, but if a guy wants to go, he's got to bring a female with him. So couples arrive, individual females can attend. A couple will pay £100 to go to the party. An individual female will pay £40 to go to the party. Before anyone can go, they have to register online. They also have to provide photographs and details of themselves. But they go to the party, and it basically is one of the things we didn't get around to talking. A lot of it is masked. They wear masks at the party. And they basically interact like they would in a nightclub. But the males can't speak to any other females other than the female they're with, until they're approached by other females or indeed individual females. So the interaction begins. But obviously, if you buy the ticket to go, everyone's like-minded. So it's going to lead to a significant number of people involving themselves in sex with people they didn't arrive at the party with, if you follow me.
Yes. Well, I mean, you say like-minded. There's loads of marriages or couples where, you know, a husband or a wife could be particularly more dominant than the other one. And I just think that it's not only detrimental to marriages or couples. And you know yourself, Northern Ireland's like a big village. It'd be some mask that would hide. Most people know everybody else, even in Belfast or, you know, on the outer parts, you know, living and working in Belfast. I mean, I know a lot of people, and I just can't believe that, you know, there was a big hoo-ha there about the Bible play being on at Theatre at the Mill and the public outcry that sort of went out over that. That's something that is so, you know, base and immoral that would be allowed, you know, would be allowed to operate, whether it be privately or they pay loads of money for it or whatever. I'm just horrified that this would be allowed to happen in Northern Ireland. I just think it's, you know, I mean, I'm 45 and very happily married. And, you know, I think even if your husband or your partner approached you saying that you wanted to go, it would be enough to have a detrimental effect on your marriage, let alone going to such a thing. And then also as well, you know, let's just take the feminist movement back about 50 years and turn women back into sex objects.
She does argue, one of her points is, I've read an article last night before interviewing her, one of the other points that she makes is, and she touched on this with the chat that I had with her, that the women are in control. The men can't do anything at the party unless invited by the woman. So it gives the women a strength, it gives them sexual flexibility or whatever way you like to describe it.
But I mean, I can't imagine, you know, that's all very well in an article and talk and all the rest of it. Surely these things could get out of hand when there's that amount of people, that amount of alcohol. There's no way that somebody doesn't come away from that affected, whether it be emotionally or physically.
Okay, Michelle, thank you. Thank you for that. I'm going to speak to Joseph, who's on this line, and Sir Gervin, who's patiently waiting to have a conversation with me as well. Joseph, good morning.
Morning, Frank. I think we all these swingers parties, or whatever you want to call them, I think it's able to do whatever they want. They're not knowing anybody. It's all in private. As you said, the girls have the most power in it. They can do what they want with who they want in them. So what's the problem?
Well, that's the suggestion, certainly, from Emma Sale, that the girls have the control. Now, Sarah Gervin is the woman who wrote the story. She wrote it on Sunday in the Sunday Life. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Sarah, how common is swinging in Northern Ireland?
Well, I think we're a bit naive in thinking that a Killing Kittens party is bringing swinging to Northern Ireland. There are swinging parties that happen on a monthly basis throughout Northern Ireland, and they're very, very well attended. It is a vibrant scene, but I think the problem is, and why people are getting so emotive about this, is that at the minute the scene is very much underground. These people are notoriously private, and given the reaction there's been to Sunday Story, you can see why. So with Killing Kittens and Emma's party, she's bringing what is an underground scene and giving it a lot of publicity, and it's hitting the headlines.
People are asking me why it's called Killing Kittens. Now, it's a delicate one, this, but it is relevant with regards to women having control. Do you want to explain why it's called Killing Kittens?
I don't know if I would be able to at this time of the morning, Frank.
Yeah, that's okay. It's a very difficult one to describe. It's got to do with an old adage where God is supposed to punish women, let's say, who in some way satisfy themselves when they shouldn't, in inverted commas, and he, as a result of the satisfaction that the women are getting, kills a kitten in retribution. That's the adage behind it.
Emma would say that Killing Kittens, her whole company is set up in the pursuit of female pleasure, and that name, that, you know, that's where it comes from.
It's, you know, that's as good an answer as I can give at 27 minutes past nine, considering
exactly.
we have a family audience. You won't be surprised, Sarah, the vast majority of people in touch with us are absolutely shocked that this might be coming to Northern Ireland.
No, and I mean, I think we can definitely understand that. But again, I think we're naive to think that Emma is bringing swinging parties to Northern Ireland. This is very much, you know, it's something that happens a lot already. But of course we can understand why people are shocked. The vast majority of us, the thought of sharing the person that we love, our partner, with someone else, is just abhorrent to us.
And it is happening. I can't imagine it happening in my street or in my town, but it's happening in towns and villages across Northern Ireland. How do people know where to go?
Well, Frank, at the minute, like I said, it is very much an underground scene, and parties and events are arranged through specialist magazines and websites. Like I said, they're a notoriously private community. Everyone is extremely vetted. They are maybe invited by another couple who's trusted. I mean, these might be people who have very professional jobs. They have a standing in the community. They have families. They want to protect all that. They don't want anyone to know about what they may get up to in their private lives. But, I mean, with Sunday Life, we attended a swingers party a couple of years ago. It was held in Donaghcloney in County Down. So it is out there. It is happening. That started off as a dinner party, and one thing led to another, and it very quickly became a swingers party.
You see, you're putting the spotlight there on a relatively small village in Northern Ireland, the last place on earth that I would have thought swingers were having parties. Maybe we shouldn't be as shocked as our listeners are this morning, indeed as I am as well, sitting here as a shy, innocent, good-living country boy.
Well, you know, it is happening privately. Given the reaction there's been to this story, and even listening to some of your callers in the show, it's not difficult to understand why people who swing go to great lengths to keep the fact that they do that private. They're afraid of the backlash, but it does happen in private homes, stately homes across Northern Ireland, and there may be one planned for this week. We just don't know.
It's quite incredible. You're covering it, you're investigating it, and sometimes you have to be on the periphery of it to find out what is happening with your journalistic hat on, Sarah. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you,
Frank. Sarah Gervin from the Sunday Life, who brought us the picture, the story of the Killing Kittens Club possibly coming, the Killing Kittens Party Club possibly coming to Belfast. Will it ever actually arrive in the city? Personally, don't think so. Right, it's coming up at 9:30. Good morning.